I just want to read a verse of Scripture in your hearing this morning. It's one passage of Scripture found in Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Then he will call and I will answer. I guess if there was ever a person who could have said that he was filled with great sorrow and looked forward to the day of dying, it would have been Job. He had tremendous sorrow. He had lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his family. He lost all of his health. And even his wife and his friends added to his sorrow. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His friends accused him of being a sinner. He even says earlier in these verses of Scripture, he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave." I guess if anybody could have complained and been excused for asking for something like that, it would have been Job. Everything that could make life bearable was taken from him. And every evil which could make death desirable came upon him. What Job does in this particular verse of Scripture is something that all of us need to do. He stepped away from his circumstance and looked at the full circumference of life. And there are several things that those of us that are saved understand about the full circumference of life. I guess in summary, he's basically saying no matter how bad things get, it's only going to last but a short time. No matter what happens to me in life, it is not going to be permanent. I'm looking forward to a change. Now, people, listen to me. This is the right perspective of life. It'll help you. It'll help you with present circumstances. It'll help you with sorrow. It'll help you with death. It'll help you with all the future evils that lie ahead. Our present state is not our eternal state. Job was filled with a lot of sorrow. And I love this. When you think about when we first became cursed, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, God is so brilliant that he attached to the curse death. And you know what he did in that? He caused us to experience mortality. He caused us to experience a period of time rather than us spending eternal ages in our sins and under the curse. It's only for a time. Our iniquity is connected with our mortality. Pain and suffering, yes, it's going to come upon us. Great death may come upon us. But for many folks, it's simply a welcomed blessing. To die can be gain. Yes, it sure can. And you know, suffering, I've seen people suffer and even pray that the Lord just come get them. I mean, the pain and anguish can be so bad. The curse of sin, the wages of sin can become so intense that you want relief. And the only way you'll ever find relief is for a change. And that change is found many times in death. And it changes your circumstances when you're a believer. Amen? It sure does. Yeah. So he had a right view of life. His right view of life was that he was a mortal being. He did not look at his circumstances, but he looked at the full circumference of life. And one of these days, he knew there was going to be a change, that he was no longer going to be in all of this sorrow and pain and anguish. He wasn't going to be under the psychological and the physical stresses of life. He was going to be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord was going to call, and he would answer. So, just simply understanding that you're a mortal being. The right view of life is not only mortality, but it's brevity. Our life is short in comparison to eternity. It's described in the Scriptures as a hand's breadth, as a weaver's will, as a vapor, right? We're only here for a short time. The pain of this mortal life is going to be simply a pinprick in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that waits for us. Amen. One of the greatest accountants was, Ashley, you know who the greatest accountant was? It was the Apostle Paul. When he said, I reckon, in the Greek, in the Greek word, that's he's being an accountant. Hey, it's a theological accounting. Hey, it's a divine accounting. He said, I reckon. What did he reckon? Well, he reckoned that this present time is not worthy to be compared. Not even worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits us in the presence of the Lord. So we need to do some proper accounting. We need to do some reckoning. We need to realize that our life is brief. We need to understand the brevity of life. Listen, the longest and most sorrowful time of your life is simply still just a time. A time. He calls it a time. The time. It's just time. It's nothing. Time is no comparison to eternity. Job not only calls it time, but notice in these verses, he calls our life an appointed time. I still contend that God controls your time here on the earth. I believe God controls the boundaries of your life. Jesus Christ still holds the keys of death. And no man can open unless he opens. No man can lock unless he locks. All of us will live out and not outlive our allotted days. Our days are numbered. Amen? Now, I follow the theology of the great theologian, Mimi Binion. Yes, that's my grandmother. She said, I heard her say it many times, when it's your time, it's your time. And I believe the 80 years she studied God's holy word, that made it made her enough of a theologian to know that those things were controlled by God. Amen. And your life is controlled by God. It is an allotted time. Now, don't come to me with all of your philosophical scenarios about this situation, that circumstance, or these physicians and these surgeons and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You go ahead and take your vitamins. You need to. You need to exercise. Yes. But when God calls, you will answer. Amen. 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 That's a little old-fashioned, I guess. But that's what I believe. The boundary of our days, the days of our life, they're numbered. Amen. There's an allotted time that God has allotted you, and you will not go beyond that allotted time. That's what I believe. It's exactly what I believe. He speaks of a period of time. He speaks of it being appointed, and it's appointed by God. God was instrumental in your beginnings, and He's going to be instrumental in your endings. Yeah. Notice he not only talks of time, he says the time, he talks about that time being appointed, but he talks about days. He speaks of days, our appointed days. People, we know we need to live one day at a time, don't we? Isn't that what Jesus told us to pray? Pray for daily sustenance. Pray for our daily bread. He didn't say pray for your yearly bread. He said pray for daily bread. He even told us in one particular occasion. He taught us that even the worries of life, he said there's enough worries to worry about in one day. Just limit it to that day. Don't worry about weeks and months and years from now. There's enough to be concerned about for today. Because listen, you start boasting yourself of tomorrow and you don't know what one day will bring. This one day may be your last day. And I believe that's how to bear up underneath the trouble of life, is take it one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Work one day at a time. Worry just one day at a time. Suffer just one day at a time until the last day comes and you go into the presence of the eternal days, the ancient of days, where every day will be a great day. Because there'll be no more night. Amen? Yeah. We have good days. We have bad days. We have glory days. We have sad days. We have happy days. But at the end of the day, they're just days. 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 The word here in the Greek alludes to and has reference to a warfare. It could be translated, all the days of my warfare. Our days are days of warfare. Every day is a day of warfare. Life is a war. Living life under the curse of sin is a warfare for our flesh. Sure is. And listen, you need to go out into the battle prepared. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You don't need to get up any day of your life without the sword of the Spirit in your hand. We need the weaponry of God. And life continues to be a struggle. It continues to be a battle. I fear that there are times where we think that we're at peace with the world, or that our old nature is no longer going to cause us any problems, and we think that perhaps the devil has gone on vacation and will not harm us anymore. Look out. Amen. Be very careful. Listen, you're being snickered. You're being misled. You're being deceived. Remember, every day of our life is a warfare. And if you for a moment think that you're no longer in the warfare of life, then you're being deceived. You're being played. Listen, we need to wake up and be ready. Amen. We need to be, as he described in this particular passage of scripture, waiting. Now, there's a lot that could be taught with that one word, wait. He said, I'm going to wait. All the days of my appointed time, I'm going to be in this state of waiting. Now, waiting here is having reference to being ready. Amen? Being ready. Being ready. I'm afraid we have a generation of people that think they're going to live forever in these bodies, in these mortal bodies. I mean, they think that, you know, they keep talking about, oh, we're living longer, we're living longer. Really? Really? I mean, you know, our doctor's offices are revolving doors. Really? I mean, have you ever stood in line at Walgreens? I mean, there's like four or five people in front of you all the time. We're in better condition than in days gone by. Really? Moses lived to be 120, and he still had the stamina of a 20-year-old. His eyes never grew dim. He still had the strength that he always had. He marched off to death in a perfect health. Never took a vitamin all the days of his life. See, here's the problem. Most people have a wrong view of life. We need the right view of life. But most people have the wrong view of life. They're living their life recklessly. They've been sucked into this false scenario that they're safe and they're secure, that the doctors can fix them if it breaks. They've been sucked into all of this propaganda that the world has put out. And they're not waiting. They're not ready. We've learned this week that we need to be ready. Mother buried a son, a mother buried a daughter. A son buried a parent. A husband buried a spouse. Listen, within your family unit, your family members need to be ready. We are mortal. It is normal for people to die. It should not surprise us. Death is of no respecter of persons. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's how it is. That it is. And so we shouldn't be shocked or amazed. Somebody's going to say, well, preacher, you're trying to frighten us. What do you think is going to happen? I'm going to be, you know, laying in my bed and the earth's going to open up and swallow me or something? Y'all watch the news lately? That happened this week. Yeah, that happened this week. It is a reality. We need to face the realities of life and we need to be ready. None of us should be expecting to live another day. God expects us to deal with the present today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we need to pray, be praising the Lord. Today is the day we need to be one of the lost to be saved. Today is the day we need to be living for the Lord. Today is the day we need to be serving the Lord. Today is the day we need to be praying and be prayed up and ready, because today could be our last day. Amen. I read where the Puritans, the old Puritans, you know, that helped found this country, some of the happiest and some of the most holiest people. A lot of them had little tokens that they kept on the dresser that they kept all that reminded them that they're going to die, that today could be the last day. Now, we're waiting and we're watching because we know that those of us that are saved, we know that when we die, we're going to a better place. We're going to better circumstances, to better situations. I mean, this is the patience of the saints. There are a lot of people that go through long periods of sickness. And there's a lot of weariness of the world. And we do, from time to time, get to enjoy some glimpses of His glory through the glass darkly. But one of these days, the glass darkly is going to be pushed away and we're going to see Him face to face. He was looking and waiting for the future. Now, I'll just be honest with you. If you really have the Spirit of God in you, you're longing for the heavenly country. If you've really drank of the living water, you're looking forward to going to that river that flows from the throne of God. If you're not longing for that place, then you've drank some kind of Kool-Aid and you've not drank of the river of life. It's real. It's inside of us. It's a glorious hope. It's an assurance inside of us. My soul is waiting for the change where I get to escape this world of bondage and soar to be in the presence of my Savior. He was waiting for, he said this, he's looking toward the future. Till my change comes. Now, I believe he was looking toward two aspects of this. He was probably looking forward to death, but he was also looking forward to the resurrection, wasn't he? There are certain aspects of this. I mean, that you know, the change comes when you die. I mean, when you die, it's over. Amen. The sin debt is paid. The wage of sin is over, and you're done. Your mortality is done. And immortality swallows up mortality. Amen? Yeah. There's a couple of important things I want to point out here. First of all, when that change comes, you will not lose your identity. Jesus said, we'll be known as we are known. The same man that lives in this life and he's saved by the grace of God, that same man lives forever. What was he? He said, these eyes shall see him. Yes. Listen, in heaven, Abraham is still Abraham. God said, I'm still the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was their God when they were on the earth, and He is still their God while they're in heaven, and they're in heaven, and they're the same people that were on earth. That's the point. You do not lose your identity. Death does not destroy your identity. Now, I know there's been this, I don't know where it came from, some kind of theological idea where, you know, we suddenly become some kind of souls that just float around on clouds or something. We don't even know who we are. That's crazy. We remain who we are. There's a mighty change, yes. But it'll still be you when the change comes. Not only do we keep our identity, but there's a vitality of the in the Christian, an eternal vitality. What was it, Jesus? He said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." The life must be in you now. When we go to heaven, it just gets more brilliant and more brighter. It gets more glorious. It is enhanced. We shake off this robe of flesh, and our souls ascend into the presence of the Lord when that change comes. But the life is already in us. Listen, if there's not a new life that came into you when you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Need to be saved. So that vitality, listen, you need it now before you die. The change was not going to be, he was going to lose his, well, the point is this, we don't lose our relationship with the Lord. He is our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is still our elder brother. He is still our Redeemer. He's our Savior now. He'll be our Savior then. Yes. All that He is now, He'll be in heaven. He's my King now. He'll be my King there. Those relationships that we have within the family of God remain. That doesn't change, does it? Now, our earthly mortal relationships will change. Jesus made it really clear that in heaven there's not no giving of marriage. Marrying and giving of marriage, that's what he said. That doesn't occur, that'll be different. But as far as us being brothers and sisters in Christ, us being the church of the true and living God, that won't change. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but Aaron's my son and Angie is my wife, but our relationship as brothers and sisters actually is higher than it is. Our eternal relationship is greater than our mortal ones. Amen. We're just not husband and wife. We're brothers and sisters. We're not just fathers and sons. We're brothers and sisters. Amen. Yes. Yes. Listen, you need to take some evaluation of your family unit. You need to do some evaluating of things around you and make sure that all of your family is in the boat, that you're in the ark of safety, that you're ready for the change. The change will come. And you need to be one of those that are waiting, one of those that are ready, one of those ready. And great change that Job was looking for was the outward change. He was looking forward to there being no more sweat on the brow. No more weary of work. He was looking forward to no more sorrow and pain and suffering. He was looking forward to a place where there'll be no more death. I'm looking forward to not seeing another casket shut. Now, nowadays they make everybody, only one that gets to see the casket shut is the preacher nowadays and the undertaker. Y'all notice that? I don't know how many I've seen. Aaron, I'll tell you what. If you want to, make everybody watch mine shut. Because I'm telling you, there's come a day when there's going to be a change where there'll never be another casket shut. There's coming a day at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when they'll all be opened and they'll never be shut again. I won't see that anymore. I was flipping through the channels the other night and she said, she was mocking a preacher saying that somebody who dies and is saved is a better off, and said, "Oh, how can they be better off? They had a house in the Hamptons." That's what she said. If she really wanted a glimpse of the glory of heaven, maybe she'd take a look at the face of Moses. He got a glimpse of glory and the glory of God, and his face was so glorious they had to put a veil on it. Too beautiful to see. Maybe she'll consider the great Deacon Stephen, who got a glimpse into heaven, saw his King of Kings and his Lord of Lords. The Bible says his face was like an angel. Or maybe she needs to hear from the Apostle Paul, who was caught up into the third heaven, heard things that are not that we cannot comprehend. He said, to die is gain. A saved person, when they die, that change comes, they are better off.
Amen.
Tell you what, I've been in the ICU, people on life support, and they go from hearing that to being in the heavenly choir of heaven. Don't tell me it's not a great, glorious change. Yeah. They're up there hearing the songs of triumph. They're hearing the shouts of victory. What a change it is to be in the home of someone who had a lot of trouble and sorrow, and or in the home of somebody who had a lot of poverty and a lot of difficulties trying to make ends meet, to suddenly be in the mansion of God. Are y'all with me? That's far better, isn't it? That's just far better. I mean, just, I love being with you folks, but I'm looking forward today to be in the presence of the holy angels. To sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To be with all the apostles. I don't just look forward to going there. I look forward to staying there forever. I thought about the change, the martyrs. Sister Juan was talking about some of the places they visited and the martyrs. You know, can you imagine being taken from a cell, being dehydrated, just skin and bone because of the lack of food and sustenance, taken out to a stake, asked to deny and denounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the match be lit, and them being consumed and leaving that place of being burned at the stake to be sitting at the throne of God. What a better change. What a glorious change. What a marvelous change we're going to experience one of these days. I couldn't help but thinking of, wow, what a change. Whether it's slow, really doesn't matter. I mean, if you go through some long, drawn-out sickness, whether it's long or short, it's going to come. That's the point. That's the full circumference of life. It's just time. It's just days in comparison to eternity. And whether we melt away slow and disappear, when we disappear, we're going to shine with the angels. I'll close with a few verses in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. God bless you. I appreciate you listening to me. Point is this. We have a lot of changes. We've had a lot of stuff going on at our church that's just more than it's been. It's just our time. Our family, for instance. We'll go through long periods. It seems like we don't go to the funeral home and we don't really have a death in the family. We don't have a lot of sickness. You know, we go through long periods of time. But listen, there's going to be a change. Somebody's going to get sick and somebody's going to die. Right? Could be you, could be me. You could step off that porch today and die. But those of us that are saved by the grace of God, those of us that are ready, we're waiting, we're ready. When that change comes, nothing's really changed, because for us to live is Christ and to die is Christ. Amen? I mean, that part of our soul, there's no change. It's eternal. It came in when we believed. You need to be ready. You need to be waiting. Aaron, get a song. One of these days, death's going to be swallowed up in victory. What a day that's going to be. Yes, there's a day of a resurrection coming. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Don't you? I sure do. He said, I show you a great mystery. Great mystery. What a blessing to behold this mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's going to be a change that's going to occur in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Praise God for the victory that's in Jesus. If you are not in Jesus, you don't have the victory of life. Amen. Let's stand and sing. you're here today and you need to be saved, call upon the Lord. Come before Him. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready for the change. Listen, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you can just live on and on and on, that you're not going to experience a transition, a change. It's coming. All men know they're going to die, and you need to be ready. Ready! Ready. That change is coming. You're here today and you've never been saved by the grace. I'll tell you what to do. Get ready. You can know when the death angel comes that you're ready. Like I said yesterday, when you see my corpse up here before this church or wherever I pastored at the time, you visit, show your last respects. Don't weep for me because I'm in the presence of the Lord. You just sing, there's been another safe crossing. Yeah. Because when the lights go out in this mortal flesh, the light of the glorious gospel that shine in my heart, we'll see the lights of that city. God bless you.